It's beginning to look a lot like Boogaloo! Welcome back, everybody! Oh yeah, this is season 4 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and we are Holland Damned! Alright, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Happy to be with you today. And I am joined to talk about Jimmy Durante's The Great Rupert by my good friends, Jack Hall.
You're loud in that opening. It hurts my ears.
Well, you know.
I know.
Merry, you're the one who fixes the Christmas. Peaks.
I know you're the one who fixes the peaks. But, Jesus, tone it down to about a 10.
All right. How about James Carter?
I want to say hi to all of my fellow alumni from Krampus College.
Krampus College, you say. Okay, you got cramps. And finally, bringing up the rear, we have Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. You know, Jack, you really got to work on your ear strength. If your ears are that weak, they're hurt by a little bit of Boogaloo. You know, you're not putting in the time.
Is there like Kegels for your ears? Is
that like... I was like, what kind of? It's like I've been told I have nice feet.
Oh, I do 50 reps of alternating Iron Maiden and AC/DC every day. The trick is to switch the speakers back and forth, though.
I'm more of a Jimmy Durante.
If you get AC/DC only in one ear, it doesn't work.
You get one ear that's what way
if,
stronger.
If you got one ear that's AC/DC and one ear that's Iron Maiden, what's that?
Well, you start sort of walking to the side if you get them uneven. So,
all right. Yeah, like I said, I'm more of a Jimmy Durante fan, really.
Wow, that guy sounds cool. Who is he?
I don't know. Durant. Obviously, I'm a big fan.
Huge fan.
More of the written word of Jimmy Durante rather than having actually heard him.
Yeah. So the Great Rupert, huh?
The Great Rupert.
All right. A Christmas wish.
All right. So Nick Boxer, why don't you explain all of the story for the Great Rupert, a.k.a. A Christmas Wish for us. Break it down for us, brother. Yo!
This is a thinly veiled allegory of prostitution in the Depression era.
Yeah, fair enough. Keep going.
No. It could be read that way, but I'm getting off. No, this is a nice little... This is a nice little story with some cute little bits with an animated squirrel, a George Pal classic.
So Nick, you picked this movie.
Yeah,
have you seen this movie before?
I have. I enjoyed this movie actually.
So I guess the big question then that we all want to know is, other than the 4 minutes of screen time of the squirrel, what made this movie Boogaloo?
I'm a huge squirrel fan.
Well, sure. I get it. Squirrels are great. But
I didn't remember how little squirrel was in this one. It has been years. But it was a nice little piece. And the squirrel bits are quite Boogaloo.
There's no question. There's a few moments in it, absolutely. And when you see the squirrel, and I think that's it. Like, I had no idea what I was getting into when I started watching this. So when you first see the squirrel and you know, like the performing number, and so here's me thinking, like, okay, so you've got the character that winds up having to give up the Joe Mahoney, who has to give up the squirrel. And because he doesn't have a job, he doesn't have a career or, you know, a place to live or anything like that. So he gives up the squirrel. And I think, okay, well, you know, Jimmy Durante's character is going to come in here. He's going to find the squirrel, and he's going to figure out a way to make this the happening act. I mean, when you see the movie poster, I mean,
wow,
it's like...
Wow, you should produce movies. That sounds good.
Yeah, that's solid.
I mean, you see the movie poster, and it's Jimmy Durante playing at the piano, and then above that, it's the fucking squirrel playing at a piano, and you think, okay, well, there's the act, but no, that's not it at all. The squirrel just moves in where, like, Jimmy Durante's family moves in where Mahoney left, and the squirrel moves back.
They do kind of tease you at the beginning into believing the squirrel has something to do with the movie.
They really do.
Well, it's...
I bought it for that first 5 minutes that this was actually going to be about the squirrel.
Yeah, and the squirrel is a very important device, but it's not.
Yeah, and it's more of a squirrel MacGuffin than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was explaining this movie to Shanna, that's exactly what I said. The squirrel is a MacGuffin. And she looked at me fairly confusedly, and I just moved on with the rest of the story.
Always the best move. Fair enough. But which one would have been more interesting, watching The Great Rupert or explaining what a MacGuffin is? I mean, one of them, she would have learned something.
When this came out, people freaked the hell out. Okay. They were writing the studio asking how they trained the squirrel.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah. I mean, it's...
By the way, I just want to say I had a MacGuffin for breakfast this morning. Delicious.
And those aren't easy to train either.
100% not hassling the squirrel. The squirrel is 4 minutes of amazing boogaloo. But the rest of the film is what I would refer to as boogaloo bait and switch.
Yes, boogaloo bait and switch. Well put.
So, well put. I want to be fair that boogaloo aside, this is a heartwarming family movie. And I have thought of, like, I would think next Christmas I will want to watch this and enjoy the heartwarming family story. It's just not super boogaloo.
No, and once I got past my disappointment of the lack of boogaloo and realized that you know, here's a character of it, or here's the down and out family who gets this magic money, you know, thanks to the squirrel, but and the Christmas wish that happens, and, you know, and then he basically winds up becoming an angel investor and starts putting all the money into all these businesses in the city. Meanwhile, they're living beside the miser who's gotten all the money but refuses to spend it, refuses to do anything. And I mean, there's a lot of interesting reasonings
they pray so they get money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the squirrel hears them praying, because the squirrel is living in the house in the
squirrel floor. What happened?
The squirrel doesn't give a shit that they're praying.
No, the squirrel doesn't throw the money out. The money goes where the squirrel is living in the floorboards, because that's where trees are not as much. Squirrels are far more likely than a mouse to be in floorboards in your house. And he's sitting there, and the money is there, and he's doing nothing. He hears them pray, and then he goes, "Hey, they could use that money." And he starts throwing it out.
That is not true.
No, that is completely. That is absolutely 100% false. The money goes in. The squirrel's like, "What the fuck is this stupid paper doing in my house?" So he just tosses it out.
Because it is clear over and over that the guy goes to the bank at 3 o'clock. He comes home, he puts it in the squirrel's thing, and then at 3:30 they get the money. So the squirrel immediately throws that money out. It's not sitting there for a while, and he never does it until
we are having an argument about squirrel sentience. I am so happy right now.
They described that the coral squirrel is. That's one of the things that sucks about this movie. Is they say at the beginning it's a very human-like squirrel. The squirrel is dancing. He describes it as being very human-like. You know, it understands English. It feels bad for these people. It's a Christmas gift, goddammit. It gives these people the money when they... Because their name is Amendola, or in other words, Amen Dollar. And he gets the money and throws it out because he feels bad for them. Other than that, he would have made a blanket out of it.
Wow. Nope. Totally wrong there.
Did you guys even watch this movie?
Apparently more than you did.
They say over and over that he goes to the bank at 3 o'clock, comes right home, puts the money in the wall, and then exactly at 3:30 they have to be sitting there. So that means that he's not reacting to it at all. The squirrel's immediately taking the money that's put in and throwing it out.
No, I'm telling you. If you go watch the movie, from the time that the squirrel gets the money the first time to the time that they pray is at least 10 minutes of screen time.
I think you are on crack, Jack.
I think the squirrel feels bad for the people. It's a very nice squirrel. It's like, hey, not everyone gets to have as nice. Not all squirrels. Most squirrels are stuck in trees. Here I have these floorboards to myself. Everybody should be happy. And throws it out.
Let's be nice to Jack here. If he needs to believe in, thinking, talking squirrels to have friends, let's let him believe that.
And it's, you also have to keep in mind, you talk a lot about floorboards, but the thing is that the floorboards are in the upper floor of the main house, and where the Amendola family is living is kind of like the garage. So it's the floorboard to the main house leads to the roof of the garage that they're staying in. So, I mean, when you say floorboards like that, it makes it sound like the money's magically floating up or something. It is definitely coming down.
The only thing that goes up is illegal dwelling. No, that can't be a legal dwelling. Let's talk about the real crime.
Well, he is a miser, so of course I doubt that it's a legal dwelling because he's just looking for money that he won't spend.
Squirrel hears them pray and goes, those poor people.
Okay. So I've checked the tape while the
we score this thing.
While the discussion is happening, I've checked the tape. So Jack, you maintained it was 10 minutes between the
minimum, two. Maybe an hour.
It could have been an hour. That's fair. I've checked the tape. It's 80 seconds.
80 seconds. 80 seconds where he's like, "Holy shit! Lucky I have money now for these folks."
Wow.
But I will say that the squirrel does clearly pick up the money and make a decision to throw it out that window or the little squirrel hole. So, I think there's enough ambiguity that we could argue this for another half hour or so before we get into scoring.
And the listeners are hoping we will.
I was confused on this one. When the authorities become aware that this poor family has money, they send the IRS, FBI.
That one's dodgier.
Yeah. The guy was the one that really confused me.
Yeah, the local police. I can see the local police being interested. The IRS, obviously, I mean, you have an unknown source of revenue. That's the IRS's job. But the FBI, that's weird.
And then they give a whole bunch of lies to where they got the money, and finally they just fess up and say it's magic money. The cops just get up and go away for the day.
They said they're going to come back tomorrow. They set a time to come back.
Well, because the magic money was supposed to fall from heaven at that moment. But of course, at that moment, that was when the miser found out that his gold mine had dried up and wasn't going to be providing them with $1,500 a week anymore. And so, therefore, there was no more money. No, I'm just saying
the authorities gave up really quickly and didn't have a lot to, investigate.
The authorities were a bit weird anyways.
I want to jump in with something really quick before we move away from this, because Jimmy Durante has all these crazy lines through the movie that kind of just sail past because he's an old like vaudeville type guy, like, weird lines.
He was a last minute holiday cheer fact here. He was a last minute replacement. So they did rework the lines for his style of patter that he's famous for.
And worked in that little ad for his radio show.
That's right. Yeah. I'm gonna miss the Jimmy Durante show. Durant show.
Durante.
Durante.
That's what I said.
You've said Durante, and you have said Durant. Neither of which are his
Let's get back to talking about how the squirrel threw the money out.
So Jimmy Durante's, my favorite lie that he comes up with of where the money came from is, I'm the long lost son of a wealthy typhoon.
Yes.
that was all I was trying to get to there.
And I do want a polar bear skin rug with the radio in the head.
Dude, that was awesome. No doubt.
I said that just today.
I checked on Amazon. There's not any there.
Nothing like that.
I am so glad I'm not the only one who did that while watching the movie.
So you could.
Well, I'm not a freak. I waited until the movie was over.
My wife Lacey and I were watching the latest season of Daredevil, and there's a bit where the bad guy has made his place look all beautiful, and I said he's got the beautiful artwork, he's got the comfy bed, he's got the polar bear rug with a radio in it.
So he can listen to the Jimmy Durante show.
You know he's rich.
The thing about this movie is that, I mean, the story is that typical... 1950s happy.
Oh, it's the Pixie Six of holiday entertainment.
Yeah, but fucking Jimmy Durante makes this movie. If this movie doesn't have Jimmy Durante, then I don't know if it's even watchable. But Jimmy is just so engaging and so much fun with his lines. I swear he's one of those guys that you must just be able to kind of just turn on and let go. Just say, okay, so Jimmy, this is basically what we're looking for, and go. Because his lines, how do you write Jimmy Durante lines, I'd like to know. Because does somebody other than Jimmy Durante say that he's the son of a typhoon?
Do we know who it was going to be? Like, it was just like whoever it was. Like,
yeah, I don't know who it was going to be, but it was because Terry Moore was who had been in, because this was filmed in 1948, and Terry Moore was in, and it didn't come out to 1950, but Terry Moore was in Mighty Joe Young. She was getting top billing, and it was flipped right. So that she was number two, and I don't know if this is a good family film, by the way, having Terry Moore in it.
Yeah, Terry Moore not known for family movies. Like, she was more of a like a smoldering sex pot kind of.
Oh, she won the the Academy Award Best Supporting Actress. I think it was for Little Sheba in 1952. But she was also in Playboy. I mean, sure, it was in 1984 and she was 55, but she was in Playboy. Just all at right. That point in time, what's his name? Hugh Hefner. He went 55, only 10 years younger than me. This is 1984.
Just got to do some Googling while we're talking here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, her career, you know, hit the skids in the 70s and 80s. So, you know, had to pay the bill somehow. I it wouldn't surprise me if maybe she occurs, like she winds up in another episode of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo at some point down the road. You never know with these things.
I can't wait. She did several episodes of the Batman TV show, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she was like one of the gun mall kind of characters.
Yeah.
Showed up in a few episodes.
She actually has a website where you can buy autographed photos of her, and like some of them are on the Batman set. So it's like, I was thinking, I wonder, she's like 89 years old. Do you think she knows how to use Skype?
She was a True Detective in what, like 2014 or something?
2014,
like that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's so great. So the very opening of the film, Rupert's trainer is showing off Rupert's skills because he's trying to get, break into show business with Dancing Squirrel. And
Break back into show business
because he used to be a lion tamer and now he's been training this squirrel. And
a logical progression.
Yeah. Usually, and he shows this booking agent and the booking agent's girlfriend this little musical number. And so you've got a dancing squirrel wearing Scottish outfit who's clearly reacting and interacting to verbal commands. And they could not give a shit. They're so unimpressed with everything they're looking at.
Because if they had given a shit, this would have been a totally different movie. Maybe one I'd want to watch.
And hey, remember, this is just like Jack Hall, not box office.
It's not box office. I love it. So we do find out at the end that that the squirrel is going to be a big success, and we see how he's moving up the bill. He's the fifth build, and then he's the third build, fourth build, and then he's the star of the show. But there's a moment where you see his last sign.
I wish we could have seen that movie.
Where it says Rupert the Squirrel, and it's covered up everyone else's names. But at the bottom, it says featuring the Dixieland Minstrels and Singers. And I'm like, oh my God, please don't put that in the movie. for God's sakes, don't switch to the Dixieland Minstrels.
In 1999, they colorized this. Put it on DVD.
That's right. They brought it back from the old public domain.
Public domain.
I don't approve.
Of colorization?
Of colorization, that's correct.
I watched the black and white version. I enjoyed it.
The black and white version is available on archive.org. I assume it's fallen into public domain, so which is probably why it got colorized, is that Turner loved colorizing movies, not because he thought color was awesome, but because if you colorize it, you can add on the copyright to the colorized version.
Yeah, so luckily it showed up on YouTube, so we can all watch it for free.
All right,
let's go to scoring.
That sounds fantastic. Let's do it.
All right, I know what this
is. That sounded fantastic 15 minutes ago.
I had some more things to say about Rupert. So every day in our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film we talk about in five categories, none of which are objective quality. Our first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
All right. Well, when it comes down to schlock, then the squirrel's worth a little bit, but it's actually really well done for a 1948 animated squirrel. So there's not that much. I would give this a much higher number for appeal than I would for schlock. Unfortunately, schlock appeal, I'm just going to have to go with 3.
Now, hold on. I just want to jump in. You say it's pretty good special effects. I mean, it's George Pal. I mean, how many Academy Awards for best special effects did he win? Like a whole bunch, right?
Yep. Well, that's why this movie ended up on the list, actually. It was more about George Pal than it was like totally about George Pal.
Time Machine and what was it? Destination Moon. I think that's another one with Terry Moore, actually.
Million Years BC. Was
that one of his? I know that the 53 War of the Worlds definitely won the Academy Award. Yeah, that was sure, yeah. It's one of my faves. Yeah. So anyways, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
I see where you're going, and I'm actually going to base my score on yours. 3 is totally justified, but I'm bumping up 2 because I did get a sense that was a taxidermy, an animated taxidermy squirrel there. It's a little creepy.
It is. I'll give you that. Yeah.
the fact that they're reanimating a squirrel in the first 5 minutes, I'm going a full 5 on that.
All right.
Well, I mean, what was it George Powell's style called? Puppetoon?
Puppetoon. That's right.
Yeah, where instead of moving the limbs or whatever on the puppet, he would just take a totally different puppet already in a different pose, just make different ones. So they didn't have to move and whatever. So it literally could be a bunch of different squirrels.
Oh, yeah, that's horrifying. Now that as you explain it, I'm like, wait, that means there's lots and lots of squirrels.
Very possible. All right. Everybody's on eBay right now.
Used Rupert the Squirrel.
Great Rupert. Then I'm in.
3, by the way, is the right score.
3, you say. I thought the 3.5 minutes of Rupert the Squirrel at the beginning and the minute at the end were awesome. So I gave it a 2. Again, nice family movie. I'm
very, rating these very based nice. On Boogaloo.
More heart than budget is our next category.
Oh God. Well, I mean, I'm not sure what the budget was, but goddamn, this movie had a whole lot of heart. you know, this, if just basing it on heart alone, I would give it a 9, but I'm not basing it on heart alone. I'm going to give it a 6.
6 is the correct score.
This time, actually, 6 is not the correct score because it's not mine.
No, I mean, they had to pay people to be in this.
That's often the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, your logic is impeccable.
Jimmy Durante was not, like, hurting at this point.
You're such a douchebag, Zach.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they brought in a paycheck player to get this done, so. Well, 6 like, is the correct score.
I mean, just George Pal's first live-action film. He had won, like, 7, or he'd been nominated for, I think, 7 Academy Awards or something like that in a row, and won one for short films, you know, for his animated stuff. But, yeah, I mean, so I can't imagine it was a big-budget film. On the other hand, what did they spend money on? How many times did they leave that room that takes place in, and the little...
Well, I mean, they were just releasing money into the outside. That cost, you just throwing money out the window like that.
Well, especially when you have to do it on cue. Anyways.
And the squirrel had to eat some of it.
4.
Because it's a trained squirrel, eh?
How much... How much fake money does a fake squirrel eat? I don't know how you allocate that on your line item. It does have quite a bit of heart, but it doesn't do too much crazy aside from the squirrel with its budget. So 4 is also what I gave it. The next category we call what the fuck moments.
Well, overall, there wasn't... I didn't find that there was a lot of real moments of what the fuck. I noted a couple of lines that were close to what the fuck for me. One of my favorite lines from Jimmy Durante, besides the typhoon, is a great line where he says, "It's so difficult to find a job for a human pyramid." And I just thought, okay, that makes sense. You know? I guess the polar bear rug that has the radio, fantastic. But in keeping with the times, there's this one moment where the daughter is out on a date, and she stays out till all hours, and the mother's worried, and Jimmy Durante says, "She's not alone. She's with a man."
No, that's not what he says. That's not what he says. Because this one got me too. He said, "Nothing can happen with her. She's with a man." Even worse. 10 times worse. Nothing can happen to her. She's with a man.
She's with a man. So yeah, I noted that just because it's one of those, wow, you would not say that nowadays. That's for sure. Anyways, I'm giving this a 3.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple more WTFs in there. I kind of enjoyed for the period. The when everyone's sort of guessing where he's all getting all this money, they do sort of imply that he's prostituting his daughter a little bit.
Yeah, they totally do, yeah.
Yeah, they imply a lot.
Which, for the time, I thought that was way risque in a movie like this. But yeah, it's not off the charts. 4.
Look, you have a squirrel that's almost lifelike and human-like. I mean, human-like. Can dance, seems to understand English, waits till people pray, you know, before giving out money. And you don't explain. Like, I was expecting some explanation that this squirrel was taken by aliens and taught like human, and then brought back to Earth, and he discovered her, or was irradiated and with some sort of gamma radiation or something like that gave it extra intelligence in a lab or something. I was expecting some backstory for this. You get none. That alone gives us a 6. So 6.
That all seemed perfectly reasonable to me.
Yeah, if here's the deal. If you had gotten that stuff, then I would have given it a 6 because you didn't get that stuff.
Different movie, but what I would have liked.
Yeah, I'll give a 6 to you, to the movie that you describe, and a 3 to this one.
give that to you. That's it. They don't explain this squirrel. They put him in for 4 minutes in a 90 or 100 minute movie, and they don't tell you why or how. Fuck you guys.
Well, you've been wrong.
Where was Stanley when you needed him? That's the movie he would have made.
Yeah. I mean, Jack, you've been wrong all episodes, so why start now?
All right. We call our next category we call the next category memorable moments.
Well, I suppose I'm never going to forget that the great Rupert has the dancing squirrel for 4 minutes, and that I really enjoy Jimmy Durante. And I'm not going to forget that it's a nice holiday fun movie that I may want to watch every now and then up for Christmas. Ultimately, I'm just giving it a 3.
You know what? I'm going with a 6 because it was good enough for me to remember enough of it that I had to make you guys watch it. I just wanted to watch it, and I wanted an excuse. It stuck with me that much.
Like 10 minutes into this film, I thought, I have a family member. She's 3 years old. Maybe I'll watch this with her. And 15 minutes into the movie, I thought, but I don't want to bore the fuck out of her.
Yeah, but you don't have a heart. So I wasn't expecting rave reviews on that one.
2.
All right. Two for Jack. I thought that was, I think Durante's jokes and his manner, his riffing is like the most memorable thing of it for me. There's a bit where he goes through this long process where he's going to teach the neighbor guy how to do a circus trick. And it's like he sets up a board, and he gets a glass of water, and he's like, okay, I'm going to sit on this side. You get up on the chair, you jump down. Like, he goes through this entire like explanation of what's going to happen. The guy jumps down and the board just snaps in half, and the two of them are standing there looking at each other. And Durante looks down and goes, "Termites."
That may have been the biggest what the fuck moment in the whole thing, because it's so out of nowhere that this miser's like, I always wanted to learn a trick, to be in the circus, be a performer.
He wants to learn a party trick. He thinks he's boring at parties. That's why he asks to learn something. And in fairness, he's right. So a 3 is what I gave it as well. Our last character.
I just want to say, there was the part where Jimmy, what's his name?
Durante.
There is the part where he sings. You guys have mentioned it. Where there's actually 2 scenes where he sings, where he just sits at a piano and sings. Mm-hmm. And those are awesome. Like, he was awesome at that. He really was that great vaudevillian entertainer.
Which is the Christmas special that he does the voice for? Is it Frosty?
Frosty, yeah. He's the narrator in Frosty.
Yeah. Yeah, because he sings in that as well. Yeah,
yep,
that's right.
He sings Frosty, in fact.
For example, yes. But I think he sings the second song, but he does sing Frosty probably 3 times through half an hour show. Yeah. It's just one of those kinds of shows. All right, Stan, crazy concept.
All right. Well, this was a tough one for me because, again, when you lay it out, you think, ooh, squirrel. Yeah, it's been animated squirrel in 1948, but ultimately it's such a happy movie, and I feel like this kind of thing would be slightly more normal, but maybe not. So I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah, I'd go with a 6 as well.
I'd go with a 3 because they didn't pull the trigger on the craziness.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think, like I've been saying, it's a heartwarming story, but it's not particularly wacky to me. I would enjoy it more as a just a Christmas film than as a Boogaloo film.
Now, these guys, I haven't done my research on this one, surprise. Now, had they mixed animation and live action before this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
many times.
Yeah. You know, Wizard of Oz and...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Many, many times.
Tons of the Universal films.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to our secret modifiers. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film has 3 of them.
Woo. Oh, that squirrel modifier I put in there really took off.
Does it have a dancing squirrel? Which is fun. I didn't think we'd use it this year. It does have a negative for what we're calling the hide the nog modifier. No one in this film drinks a festive beverage. It also gets a -1 for what we're tongue in cheek calling "It's a White Christmas." There is no one in this film that is not a Caucasian. And it does get a +1.
Well, except for the minstrels that they're in the circus.
The minstrels that almost showed up at the end, dear God.
That they threatened to bring
right before the credits. I'm like, don't do it. But it does get a +1 because a carol is sung, a festive song is sung on screen by the great Jimmy Durante. So it gives it a +1, leaving us with a grand total of 39 out of 100.
Oof.
So on the low side, not the lowest we've seen, but it is it's not breaking any box office records.
I didn't expect this one to score high, though, because it does not feel Boogaloo to me at all. But as you've said, Jim, there's no doubt that this one is just a good holiday movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the search for the ultimate B-movies.
That's right.
It's not the definitive list.
Nope.
But we'll be by the time we're done. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But that's several years from now. And
we are definitely searching under every rock to find it. So that's the positive. And this just didn't happen to be the right rock.
And at the end of the day, after 10,000 movies to be watched, we'll look back and go, it was Ninja 3 The Domination. Episode 6 or whatever it was.
Turns out
the journey, not the destination.
All right.
It's funny because it's probably true.
Jim, tell people,
Stan,
and Rupert the squirrel where they can find us on the internet.
The best place to go for us is on Instagram. We are Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo when talking about the B movies you love. And for everywhere else, talk to our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts. They have a website. That's where you can find the Octagon, the ongoing grid of all of the movies we've talked about so far. WeTalkPodcasts.com. And they also have Facebook and Twitter accounts. And that's follow those so that you can keep up on what we're doing.
All right. Well, we are taking a hard 90 degrees to move into our next movie, which is called Santa Claus. So looking forward to that. It's definitely going to be very different than The Great Rupert. I doubt it will have nearly as many animated squirrels. But then again, if we can find more movies with animated squirrels, I'm in.
I'm not sure. Am I supposed to watch the one with Dudley Moore Santa Claus, or the one with Tim Allen?
Well, one of them is the Santa Claus, and this one is Santa Claus. So watch the movie Santa Claus. Does that help you?
No,
it's an audible W.
Claus. Yes,
Debbie Rashawn.
Snickety snick.
Snickety snick. There you go.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
1996, nice. Santa Claus. Nice. All right.
Nice reference.
Anyways, unless anybody has anything else to say about The Great Rupert and the amazing squirrel animation, for Jack, for Nick, and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
If I don't get my rent money, I'll be able to say that tomorrow.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Dingle. Now, if you'll just hang your sock on a mantle, I'll drop in 3 months' rent. Keep the $4 change.
3 months' rent in advance. Mr. Amendola, we're so glad you folks dropped in on us. Katie, get Mr. Amendola a chair and some coffee and some cake, Katie. Where's the Christmas spirit?
That's right. Where is the Christmas spirit?
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Ah, I love the excitement of Christmas. I'll never forget one Christmas Eve when I was a kid. I hung my stocking up on a mantle, went to bed, and when I woke up the next morning, what do you think I found in my stocking? My father's foot. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all soft. Oh, what fun it is to ride soft. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Another odd bush like that, Mr. Dingle, and I'll hide your electric trains.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all soft. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open soft.
Like that, there's a guy going in business for himself. Wait a minute, all together.
Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh.
This is wonderful.